What are some of the greatest love stories? Anybody got an idea?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve, wow. There's a love story. Romeo and Juliet. How about Jonathan Livingston Seagull? Anybody remember that? Who?
Shrek and Fiona.
Shrek and Fiona. Oh, boy. And okay, well, we're going to go through some of these. We're going to go through quite a few of them. I like the one about who? Oh, Olivier talks about Adam and Eve. You know, the interesting thing about Adam and Eve is you got to think it's a match made in heaven because, you know, you don't get more perfect a wife, all right, than having God making your spouse for you while you're asleep. Okay, if you can figure that out, we'll let you figure that later. But there are some amazing love stories in the Bible. Some of those love stories, each and one of them, obviously, is in the Bible for a reason. Because the Bible is God's word. And he wants us to enjoy his word, to learn from his word, to get comfort from his word. And so he's given us some stories that are love stories. And each one of them has a lesson for us or a message. One of those love stories is Abram and Sarah. Anybody know what that is? What was that love story? How old was Abram, who became Abraham, and Sarai, who became Sarah? How old were they when they had their first child? She was 90, he was 100. All right? And what was his name?
Isaac.
Abraham and Sarah gave birth to a son by the name of Isaac. So what do we learn from that story? Well, when Abram and Sarai at the time were told they were going to have a son, she laughed, but Abraham had faith. Abraham had faith. And so we learn from that love story, it's a story of faith, it's a story of patience, and it's a story of obedience. Because I must admit that, you know, in this day and age, people don't wait. They're not there. You're going to say, oh, you're going to have a kid, so just wait. And you wait and you... No, people give up too soon. Abraham did not give up. He obeyed God's law. He obeyed God. And God told him, look, you are going to have a son. And he gave him his son named Isaac. Give me another story. How about Isaac himself and Rebekah? Why is that a love story?
We're
going to get to that's not him. That's Jacob.
Okay.
We're going to get to him too. Don't worry. What is it about Isaac and Rebekah that's so interesting? See, Abraham, Isaac's dad, wanted Isaac to have a wife. But he made a condition. The condition was she could not be from any other tribe. She had to marry within their family genealogy, within that farm. He didn't want him to marry what was then called a Canaanite woman. And they had no idea of how do they find one. How do they find the right woman for Isaac? And so what happened is Abraham sent out a servant to go look for a wife. And to make the story very short, he finds Rebekah. And the servant brings Rebekah to Isaac. They've never met before. They've never met before. But by faith, Rebekah agreed that she would go with this servant and that she would marry. And you could find this story in Genesis chapter 24 if you want to. But you'll find that in Genesis chapter 24, that when Isaac and Rebekah met, Isaac looked at her and he said, he loved her. He loved her and he became his wife. She became his wife. See, God blesses. That was a blessing. That was bringing two people together who had never even seen each other. And God blessed that union. And there was love in that union. So now let's get to another one. Jacob and Rebekah. Jacob, Rachel, and Leah. Well, that's interesting. Here's Jacob. He falls in love with Leah. He goes and works 7 years for Leah so that he can... For Rachel. Thank you. Stand corrected. He works for his 7 years for Rachel. He's in love with Rachel. And when the 7 years is up, her dad says, another 7. He actually fools her. All right. It's an interesting thing because Jacob was deceived by his uncle, just like Jacob deceived Esau, if you know that story. And so anyway, after this deception, where actually Jacob ended up with Leah as his wife, he had to wait another 7 years for Rachel. But God blessed them. God blessed that family. God blessed that family in that Leah bore him 6 sons and Rachel with 2 sons. And those 8 sons were 8 of the 12 tribes or leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, if you follow history. And that is all written for us in Genesis chapter 35. Those don't sound like love stories, but those stories are all require love. And in each one of those stories, there is a lesson to be learned. God's blessing, patience, faith. And then we come to probably one of the most famous, no, I would say the second most famous love story in the Bible, and that's Ruth. Ruth and Boaz. This is a love story, a real love story of faith, love, and loyalty. Boaz was kind and generous to his kinsfolk. He showed respect for Ruth, and Ruth was loyal and compassionate to her mom, her mother-in-law, Naomi. She was obedient in obeying God's law. What do we learn from this love story? She was not proud. She didn't complain, Ruth. She accepted her responsibilities. And the traits, the character traits of both Boaz and Ruth are what we are expected to show to each other. Their love story is a story of what, or an example of what a real couple should be. Oh, there's another one, a love story too. You wouldn't think this one is a love story, but it is. It's the story of Esther. Esther and King Ahasuerus. Esther, of course, was absolutely gorgeous. She was beautiful. But if you think that, you know, the story of Prince William and Kate is an interesting story, all right, this one is what I would say is this is a love story on steroids. Because you see, what happened with Esther is she, as a commoner, marries a royalty. He holds her back and only allows her to visit him from time to time. She has to ask permission, which is interesting. But then she's confronted. She's confronted with the opportunity to save her people. And she knows that getting in front of the king and asking for his permission and making aware of the terrible things that were to happen, she had courage. She had faith. She had love. And she eventually rescued her people from death. thanks to the king's favor. Courage, faith, and love are all required in a union between two people. And then we get to the good one. Solomon and the Shulamite woman. Isn't this an interesting love story? In fact, this love story is so amazing, there's a whole book in the Bible about it, written by Solomon about how much he loves the Shulamite woman and how much she loves him. The descriptions are amazing. They are elaborate. They are showing desire. They show love. They show pleasure. They show passion. It's a really encouraging book to read when you're a couple and to read it together. The one thing about Solomon and the Shulamite woman that I find interesting is we don't know her name. We don't know her name. We know who King Solomon is. You see, one of the things about this love story is that it didn't respect the boundaries that sometimes we set today of social status. That as far as Solomon was concerned, that the power of love and his power of love for this woman was way above and beyond social standing, social status, who you were, or anything else in your background. It was pure and true love between the two of them. And it also says that pure love, true love, requires patience, effort, and trust. The love stories in the Bible show us the true meaning of love when two people who worship God in their relationship have love between them. You see, and it was interesting when I was talking with Terry and Amanda, we've had this discussion. You see, our first relationship is between ourselves and God. Every person in this room who is a Christian and a believer, you put God first. Your relationship is between you and God. But we all share in that unity, in that we are all putting Him first. But then when God brings us together, He partners us. He partners us because there's that Spirit connects us to Him together. And when we are partnered with Christ and partnered to each other, that's an amazing blessing. And those stories that we went through just now, they showed that God kept His promises. He kept His promise to Abraham and Sarah. It shows patience is required in a union. It shows faith and obedience, trust and courage, effort, and that God blesses people with grace and love and mercy and compassion. It also taught us the example of, again, being of Esther, that having good communication, sharing our feelings with our partners, sharing our feelings with those who we cherish and love, that it's important that they know that and feel that and are aware of that. When we put God first in our relationship, especially if you have a believing partner in this life, you get to worship together and pray for each other. And even though through hardship and challenging times, we keep trusting and believing in God, and He will constantly bless you in your relationship in many different ways. You see, it is a real blessing to have a partner in life who is also a believer. That's not a blessing for everyone, and God has a plan for each and every one of us. But when you have this blessing, it is a joy. Because you see, you have a partner in worship. You have a partner in discipleship. You have a partner in ministry. You're a partner in examples to others in the world. that this is God's way of life. You see, jointly as partners, we can use our gifts to serve out of love. We can serve God, we can serve our fellow church members and believers, we can serve each other. But those are love stories. Those are love stories. You know, in the New Testament alone, that the word love is used 200 times. And in that word, love, we're told in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 16, it says, let all that you do, everything that we do, let it be done in love. What's the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Second commandment is to love your neighbor. And in 1 Corinthians 13, which we read during the ceremony, it says there are three things that remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You see, there is another love story that we've not mentioned, or I've not mentioned. It's the greatest love story. It is the greatest love story of all. This is how God showed his love among us in 1 John chapter 4. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live, that we might have eternal life through him. This is love, not that we loved God, because let me tell you, finding people who love God today is very difficult. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. All the mistakes, all the wrongs, all the sins that we have committed, and we do, he's wiped them out, forgotten them, and made the slate clean. Why? So we can be with him, we can be with the Father for eternal life. What amazing love is that? Dear friends, since God so loved us, what are we supposed to do? Love each other. Love in serving, being humble, being gracious, merciful, compassionate. The greatest love story is the love that God gives us and the love of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest love story. But there's one other major thing that is going to happen as well. And that is the greatest wedding of all. The greatest wedding. You see, it was prophesied in Hosea chapter 2. It says, I will betroth you. This is God. I'm going to betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice. In what? In love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. He's made a prophecy that we will be the bride and Christ will be our husband. Well, that was in the Old Testament, you say. Oh, yeah, maybe. But here, this is when it's going to happen. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. At the return of Jesus Christ, it's going to say, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. We will, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. And the bride has made herself ready. We are the bride. We are the bride. Are you ready? Yes. Are you ready? That's a really key question. Do you yearn for that moment? Do you yearn to be at that wedding feast? You know, it says in John 14, there's a table set and prepared for each and every one of us. The greatest love is the love that Jesus Christ and his Father gave to us. And the greatest wedding is the one that we can all participate in. We have all been called to be part of the greatest of all weddings and to be loved perfectly. Great God, Father in heaven, thank you, God, for your plan, for your grace and love, for preparing us to be wed for eternity to you. Come, Lord Jesus, bring your kingdom. Let us rejoice, let us be glad, and let us always give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.